vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Welcome back to Hackberry House, a podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church in North Korea. My name is Bob, and this is podcast number 459. It is April 29, 2016. And once more, we're a little bit ahead of schedule. Because of a scheduling problem tomorrow, I'm doing the podcast tonight. Well, today, Christian and faithful must go to Vanity Fair if they're going to go to the Celestial City. And there's a message there for you. Here's Spurgeon's comments on their entry there today. In our last episode, we saw Spurgeon commenting on the first part of their entry and the strange way people were looking at them because of the clothing on them, which I assume is the righteousness of Christ, and their speech was so different. And so you've got Vanity Fair, the city of Vanity Fair, just overwhelmed by these two visitors. They're very intrigued by it all. Spurgeon says, if you follow Christ fully, you'll be sure to be called by some ill name or another. They will say how singular you are. If you become a true Christian, you will soon be a marked man. They will say how odd he is, how singular she is. They'll think that we try to make ourselves remarkable, when in fact we are only conscientious and are endeavoring to obey the will of God. And they will say, why are you old-fashioned? You believe the same old things that they used to believe in Oliver Cromwell's day, those old puritanical doctrines. They laugh at our faith and assert that we have lost our liberty. Now he quotes from Bunyan again. This fair is no new erected business, but a thing of ancient standing. I will show you the original of it. Almost 5,000 years ago, there were pilgrims walking to the Celestial City, as these two honest persons are. And Beelzebub, Apollyon, and Legion, with their companions, perceiving by the path that the pilgrims made, that their way to the city lay through this town of vanity, they contrived here to set up a fair. A fair wherein should be sold all sorts of vanity, and that it should last all the year long. Therefore, at this fair are all such merchandise sold as houses, lands, trades, places, honors, preferments, titles, countries, kingdoms, lusts, pleasures, and delights of all sorts, as harlots, wives, husbands, children, masters, servants, lives, blood, bodies, souls, silver, gold, pearls, precious stone, and whatnot. Well, there are diverse kinds of vanity, says Spurgeon, the cap and bells of the fool, the mirth of the world, the dance, the lyre, and the cup of the dissolute. All of these men know to be vanities. They wear upon their forefront their proper name and title. Far more treacherous are those equally vain things, the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches. A man may follow vanity as truly in the counting house as in the theater. If he be spending his life in amassing wealth, he passes his days in a vain show. Unless we follow Christ and make our God the great object of life, we only differ in appearance from the most frivolous. It is the sweetness of sin that makes it the more dangerous. Satan never sells his poison naked. He always gilds them before he vends them. Beware of pleasures. Many of them are innocent and healthful, but many are destructive. It is said that where the most beautiful cacti grow, there the most venomous serpents lurk. It is so with sin. Your fairest pleasures will harbor your grossest sins. Take care. Cleopatra's asp was introduced in a basket of flowers. Satan offers to the drunkard the sweetness of the intoxicating cup. He gives to each of us the offer of our peculiar joy. He tickleth us with pleasures that he may lay hold of us. Now from Pilgrim's Progress. And moreover, at this fair, there are at all times to be seen jugglings, cheats, games, plays, fools, apes, knaves, and rogues, and that of every kind. Here are to be seen, too, and that for nothing, thefts, murders, adulteries, false swearers, and that of a blood-red color. Spurgeon says, banish forever all thought of indulging the flesh, if you would live in the power of your risen Lord. It were ill that a man who is alive in Christ should dwell in the corruption of sin. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Said the angel to Magdalene. Should the living dwell in the sepulchre? Should divine life be immured in the charnel house of fleshly lust? How can we partake of the cup of the Lord and yet drink the cup of Belial? Surely, believer, from open lusts and sins you are delivered. Have you also escaped from the more secret and delusive lime twigs of the satanic fowler? Have you come forth from the lust of pride? Have you escaped from slothfulness? Have you clean escaped from carnal security? Are you seeking day by day to live above worldliness, the pride of life, and the ensnaring vice of avarice? Follow after holiness. It is the Christian's crown and glory. And then back to Pilgrim's Progress. Thirdly, but that which did not a little amuse the merchandisers was that these pilgrims set very light by all of their wares. They cared not so much as to look upon them. And if they called upon them to buy, they would put their fingers in their ears and cry, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and look upwards, signifying that their trade and traffic was in heaven. One chanced, mockingly, beholding the carriage of the men, to say unto them, what will ye buy? But they, looking gravely upon him, said, we buy the truth. Spurgeon says, the common religion of the day is a mingle-mangle of Christ and Belial. If God be God, serve him. If Baal be God, serve him. There can be no alliance between the two. Jehovah and Baal can never be friends. You cannot serve God and mammon. No man can serve two masters. All attempts at compromise in matters of truth and purity are founded on falsehood. May God save us from such hateful double-mindedness. You must have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Walk worthy of your high calling and dignity. Remember, O Christian, that thou art a son of the King of Kings. Therefore keep thyself unspotted from the world. Soil not the fingers which are soon to sweep celestial strings. Let not those eyes become the windows of lust which are soon to see the King in his beauty. Let not those feet be defiled in miry places which are soon to walk the golden streets. Let not those hearts be filled with pride and bitterness which are ere long to be filled with heaven and to overflow with ecstatic joy. Rise where eternal beauties bloom and pleasures all divine, where wealth that never can consume and endless glories shine. Back to Bunyan. At that there was an occasion taken to despise the men the more, some mocking, some taunting, some speaking reproachfully, and some calling upon others to smite them. At last things came to a hubbub and great stir in the fair, insomuch that all order was confounded. Now the word presently brought to the great one of the fair, who quickly came down, and deputed some of his most trusty friends to take these men into examination, about whom the fair was almost overturned. And so the men were brought to examination, and they that sat upon them asked whence they came, whither they went, and what they did there in such an unusual garb. The men told them that they were pilgrims and strangers in the world, and that they were going to their own country, which was the heavenly Jerusalem, and that they had given no occasion to the men of the town, nor yet to the merchandisers, thus to abuse them, and to let them in their journey, except it was for that, when one asked them what they would buy, and then they said they would buy the truth. But they that were appointed to examine them did not believe them to be any other than bedlams, fools, and mad, else such as came to put all things into a confusion in the fair. Therefore they took them and beat them, and besmeared them with dirt, and then put them into a cage, that they might be made a spectacle to all the men of the fair. There, therefore, they lay for some time, and were made the objects of any man's sport, or malice, or revenge, the great one of the fair laughing still at all that befell them. Spurgeon says, pilgrims travel as suspected persons through Vanity Fair. Not only are we under surveillance, but there are more spies than we reck of. The espionage is everywhere, at home and abroad. If we fall into the enemy's hands, we may sooner expect generosity from a wolf or mercy from a fiend than anything like patience with our infirmities from men who spice their infidelity towards God with scandals against his people. Live a godly, gracious life, and you will not escape persecution. You may be happily circumstanced so as to live among earnest Christians and so escape persecution, but take the average Christian man, and he will have a hard time of it if he is faithful. The ungodly will revile those who are true to the Lord Jesus. Christians are ridiculed in the workshop. They're pointed out in the street. And an opprobrious name is hooted at them. Now we shall know who are God's elect and who are not. Persecution acts as a winnowing fan, and those who are light as chaff are driven away by its blast. But those who are true corn remain and are purified. Careless of man's esteem, the truly God-fearing man holds on his way and fears the Lord forever. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. My longing is that the churches may be more holy. I grieve to see so much of worldly conformity. How often wealth leads men astray. How many Christians follow the fashion of this wicked world. Alas, with all my preaching, many wander and try to be members of the church and citizens of the world too. We have among us avowed lovers of Christ who act too much like lovers of pleasure. It is a shameful thing for a professor of Christianity to be found in those music halls, saloons, and places of revelry where you cannot go without your morals being polluted. For you can neither open your eyes nor your ears without knowing at once that you are in the purlieus of Satan. I charge you by the living God, if you cannot keep good company and avoid the circle of dissipation, do not profess to be followers of Christ, for he bids you come out from among them and be separate. If you can find pleasure in lewd society and lascivious songs, what right have you to mingle with the fellowship of saints or to join in the singing of psalms? Keep the best company. Be much with those who are much with God. Let them be thy choicest companions who have made Christ their choicest companion. Let Christ's love be thy love. With whom shall believers be but believers? Our English proverb says, birds of a feather flock together. To see a saint and a sinner associating is to see the living and the dead keeping house together. It's better to be with Lazarus in rags than with Dives in robes. Dwell where God dwells. Make those your companions on earth who will be your companions in heaven. An unholy church, it is useless to the world and of no esteem among men. It is an abomination, hell's laughter, heaven's abhorrence. The worst evils which have ever come upon the world have been brought upon her by an unholy church. O Christian, the vows of the Lord are upon you. You are God's priest. Act as such. You are God's king. Reign over your lusts. You are God's chosen. Do not associate with Belial. Heaven is your portion. Live like a heavenly spirit. So shall you prove that you have true faith in Jesus, for there cannot be faith in the heart unless there be holiness in the life. Lord, I desire to live as one who bears a blood-bought name, as one who fears but grieving Thee and knows no other shame. So says Charles Spurgeon in response to the folks in Vanity Fair. And maybe I'm speaking to such tonight. I ask that God will give you grace to repent and go to another place to spend your life. Well, that's it for this week. Tomorrow, that would be Saturday, I mean, we will not have a podcast as normal. And then Sunday, we will wrap up, finally, These are the Generations book that I've been reading for many weeks now about North Korea. Come and listen to the finale on this. It's quite interesting. And then Monday we get back to Vanity Fair, Charles Spurgeon, John Bunyan, Christian Faithful, the whole party that we've come to love here recently. I hope that you'll be there to join with me. Ecclesiastes 1:2 is where we began tonight, and this is where we will end. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity.